is the best decade ever. It just oozed with cool. It got so many amazing things. So the music, I still listen to the 80s music today. I love 80s music. It has great television shows. Miami Vice. Full House. Fraggle Rock. I put that one there just for you, Mr. Simpson. MacGyver. The A-Team. Oh, gotta love the A-Team. You know, they would shoot off a million bullets every episode and not one person would get hit. That was awesome. And oh, probably one of the most gnarly videos, most gnarly television shows, Magic Edgy Sketch. Would you show us this one?
Shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Michael Knight, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in a world of criminals who operate above the law.
Wasn't that cool? Oh. Oh, no, you haven't. Come on. Here's some fads of the 80s. How about the Cabbage Patch Kid? You remember that fad? Coleco sold out at Christmas. It was just such a popular toy. You know, it's funny. This is a sort of a side story. But when my daughter was born, her name is Mackenzie Nicole, is her middle name. And when she was born, my mom found a Cabbage Patch Kid, and her name was McKenna Nicole. So she's like, oh, this is perfect. So she bought it, and she was so excited to give this Cabbage Patch Kid to Mackenzie because it was so close to her name. And she sent it out to us, and for second Christmas gift, she opens it up, and she looks at it, and she goes, Daddy, this is an ugly doll. I said, no, it's not. It's cute. She goes, no, it's ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. So I'm like, just call your grandma and say thank you, okay? Like, leg warmers. I saw someone on stage sporting the leg warmers. Yes. How about the Sony Walkman? Yeah, that was a coming. And, of course, the iconic Rubik's Cube. Now, I told you. The 80s, in my opinion, everyone has their favorite decade, but the 80s is my favorite. But I got to thinking with this message today, what would happen if I stayed in the 80s? What would happen if I was just like, you know what, I love the music, I love the decade, I love absolutely everything about it, and I decided that I am not going to change, that I'm going to put my foot down, I'm going to wear this every Sunday. I am going to put my hair a certain way. I'm going to grow out the mullet again. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. You know what? I'm going to put posters in my room, and I found this out. I didn't know this either, but posters with Ronald Reagan's 1984 campaign slogan. Anybody know what it was? No? His 1984 slogan was, "Let's make America great again." Isn't that interesting? I didn't know that. Now, talking about the mullet, like, for those who don't know what a mullet was, Magic Etchy Sketch, would you show us?
Mullet. Definition. A hairstyle in which the hair is cut short at the front and sides and left long in back. Origin. A barber was cutting a man's hair when he was suddenly struck down by an Aaron Kush ball. The young boy who had thrown the ball saw the man in the chair and exclaimed, "Gnarly, dude. Looks like business in the front and a party in the back." And the mullet was born. Cultural references. Numerous celebrities embraced the look. Professional athletes followed soon after. The misguided style seemed to be unstoppable until this man chose to wear it. The style mercifully died soon thereafter.
Wow, thank you, Magic Edge. You guys, I didn't know, but our very own Chris Grinnell killed the mullet. You know, as I started to ask that question, what would it look like if I just stayed the same, if I stayed in that decade? And I found it really interesting because a Pepsi commercial asked that same question. Do you remember the band One Hit Wonder, the Flock of Seagulls? Do you remember the Flock of Seagulls haircut? Okay, you're going to see it in just a moment. But the Flock of Seagulls, he had kind of like these two big round things here with the long bangs. And he was in a band. And later on in life, Pepsi found him, and he was a businessman. And they said, if you could have anything back, what would you do? Magic Etchy Sketch, would you show us that commercial?
I see you're drinking Diet Pepsi. Is there anything else youthful you'd like to experience?
Yeah. No, I'd like to have back all the hair I had in high school. I walk along the avenue. I never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you. And I found out. On second thought, I'll stick with my Diet Pepsi.
Taste the one that's forever young. Diet Pepsi.
I love that clip because it shows a truth in there. You know, it's absolutely fun. This is our last decade, our last retro series sermon. But it shows that it's fun to reminisce. It's fun just to get in that place, but we never want to stay there. You know what? Change is something that we can often fear. Change can be scary. It can even become uncomfortable. But change is inevitable. We have to guard our hearts from stepping into that place of complaining, saying, God, it was so much better back then. It was so much better when you did this and when this happened in my life. This morning, I'd like you to open up your Bibles. We're going to be reading in the 80s from the NIV. So if you have your Bibles with me, you can open it up to Exodus chapter 2. And we're going to start off in verse 2. Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed this child in and put it among the reeds in the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe her, and the attendants were walking along the riverbanks. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it, and she saw a baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This was one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mom. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him to me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of water." What a miracle of God. The Israelites' male children were being slaughtered, but the Lord protects Moses and sends them right into the place of a palace. Can you imagine that? Imagine life in a palace. You have servants, you have money, you have absolutely everything you possibly could imagine or desire. What would it be like to give all that up? Would you want to give that all up and then move into the desert for 40 years? I don't know if I would. You're living large. You're living life. I couldn't help remember a story about my father-in-law. My father-in-law, he moved out from Newfoundland, and they moved to Alberta to follow the oil patch. It was the boom back in the 80s. And Cindy was in grade 3 when they moved out there. And when they moved out, he got a job at Syncrude, and he worked really hard, and he was making a lot of money. And then he became supervisor, where he was making, back in the 80s, he was making six figures, doing well. And then one time, he had this desire and he to love and to follow God, and they had one of those Pentecostal tent meetings. And he went to this tent meeting, and in this tent meeting, he fell on his face before God around the altar. And he says, Lord, I will give you anything, Lord. My heart is hungry after you. God, what do you desire? And the Lord says, I am calling you to be a pastor. I want you to go to Bible college. And he's like, whoa, God, wait a minute. I've got a family. I have three kids who are now teenagers. Lord, I'm making such good money. I can't just give this all up, and I can't just move to Bible college because there I will be making zero money. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. He goes, but I tell you what, Lord, I'll make you a deal. You ever made a deal with God? He goes, I'll make you a deal. If you call any of my kids into Bible college, I will pay for their tuition. And he says, and when they go out, if they want to plant a church in some place, wherever they want to go, and just have a really small work, Lord, I will pay for their salary for the entire year, every year, so they can serve you. How's that sound, God? And the Lord says, I'm not calling them, Hayward, I'm calling you. So he just started to weep before the Lord and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Lord, I got a family. I don't know if my wife would be involved in this or be on board this. God, what do I do? He goes, Lord, if this is from you, I want to partner with my wife and not tell her we're doing this. So Lord, if she is for this, then God, my yes is yours. So he waited a little while and he just kind of prayed about it and prayed about it till he felt in his spirit. And he went out and met with her one day and said, hey, honey, can I ask you a question? What would you say if I told you I believed that I was being called to Bible college in my 40s? His wife looked at him. She smiled and she said, I would say, what took you so long? And the rest is history. He gave everything up to pursue God, and God looked after his every desire. Sometimes change from the outside doesn't look as exciting as where we currently are. Sometimes change doesn't look as appealing. It's like, I don't know if God is in this because now this is tough. Now this is a struggle. So Moses, he becomes distraught. He's in Egypt. He's seeing the Egyptians be cruel to the Hebrew slaves. And he just loses it one time, and he goes out at night and he kills this Egyptian, and he hides his body thinking nobody's seen it until the next day. It's not interesting. Whatever we do in private becomes public. Be sure your sins will find you out. That changed the course of Moses' life. But can I just make a little segue for just a moment? Know this. God never told Moses to kill the Egyptian. In our lives, each one of us in this room may have regrets, but God is the redeemer of life. I think sometimes we can go just with this heaviness of, Lord, you'll never be able to use me for anything because, God, I know who I am. And the Lord says, that's who you were, but that's not who you are. And he wants to speak life deep into our spirits. Change can be difficult. And when change happens, I think we often think things are going to be like totally awesome. But often, it's not like that. When change happens, we often enter into a season of difficulty. My question this morning is, what drives your heart? What comes out of your mouth? Is it Proverbs 3:5? I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. Or is it, you know, I can't help but think of an old nursery rhyme. The story of Henny Penny, you know, which later got changed to Chicken Little. So it just says that Henny Penny was out and he was eating. And as he was eating, an acorn fell on his head. And he started yelling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. I got to go tell the king. And he made such a panic, he just got into it. And then he goes running around. He's like, oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. And he runs into Cocky Locky. And Cocky Locky is like, Henny Penny, what is happening? It's like, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. We got to tell the king. And panic strikes Cocky Locky. and Cocky Locky and Henny Penny, they run and they're like, ah, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And they come up and they run into Ducky Lucky. And Ducky Lucky is like, what is happening? It's like, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. We have to tell the king. It's all bad. We're going to die. Ah! And then they start running. It's like, ah, the sky. Run. The sky is falling. We don't have time to be slow today. So they start running. And they start running. And they say, and they run into, all of a sudden they run into Goosey Lucy. And they say, oh, wait, you're Goosey Lucy. No, you're Ducky Lucky. Yeah, Goosey Lucy. All right. And it's like, Goosey Lucy, what's going on? It's like, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. We have to tell the king. Oh! And they start to run. They start to run over here. And then they run into Turkey Lurkey. And then they run into Turkey Lurkey. Turkey Lurkey. The sky is falling. I know. Come on. Let's go tell the king. The sky is falling. But then, as panic spreads, and panic spreads, and it starts to affect each one of them, they run into Foxy Loxy. And when they run into Foxy Loxy, in the original nursery rhyme, Foxy Loxy invites them into his cave. And he ends up cutting their heads off them and eating each one of them. I know! If we let fear impact us, it will spread to others. We need to be people of faith and not fear. My friends, do you know statistically 85% of the things that we worry about never happen? Really, when you boil all down to it, worry is fear. It is the fear of the unknown. It is fear of the worst thing happening. No matter how you look at it, fear is lack of faith. Faith and fear cannot exist together. Faith is described in Hebrews chapter 11, 1 as being certain of what we do not see. It is absolute belief that God is constantly working behind the scenes in every area of our lives, even when there's no tangible evidence of that. On the other hand, fear simply stated is unbelief or weak belief. As unbelief gains the upper hand in our thoughts, fear takes hold of our emotions. Our deliverance from fear and worry is based on faith, which is the very opposite of unbelief. We need to understand that faith is not something that we can produce in ourselves, but faith is a gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself, but it is a gift from God, not by works, so that one can boast." Faithfulness is described as a fruit of the Spirit that produces life in into our souls. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against all these things, there is no law." The Christian faith is a confident assurance in God who loves us, who knows our thoughts, who cares for our deepest needs. The faith continues to grow as we study the Bible and learn the attributes of this amazing character. The more we learn about God, the more we can see Him working in our lives, and that strengthens our faith. So Moses leaves the posh life, and he spends 40 years in the desert. But in that time, the Lord was developing his character. The Lord introduced himself to him. The Lord started to walk with him and speak with him, where he got to know who God was. Exodus chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He left the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, yet it did not burn. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see that strange sight. Why does that bush not burn up?' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said to him, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for this place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites that were living in that land. And now the cry of Israel had reached me, and I had seen the way the Egyptians were oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending the Pharaoh to bring my people of Israel out to Egypt. When change happens and things start to become uncomfortable for us, seek the Lord, for he is desiring to walk with us. He's desiring to counsel us. He's desiring to comfort us in and through trouble. Julie?
So Pastor Lance asked me to share about experience I had over the last about year and a half. So about a year and a half ago, I was working somewhere different, a local nonprofit in town. And they had promised me a promotion. My boss had promised me a promotion. We were on a trip to Panama. And on the way back, he was like, hey, awesome job. I'm going to promote you like tomorrow. I was like, sweet. I didn't even know that was coming. So then the next year, I waited. He resigned as executive director. I kept thinking, oh, I'm about to be promoted, and I wasn't. And he kept saying, it's coming, it's coming. We just have to make these changes. And then he resigned, and I was like, I'm definitely not getting promoted now. So that's frustrating. And I even remember, like, one day being really mad and sitting at my desk, and God just got a hold of me, and I heard him say, who do you work for? Do you work for me, or do you work for your boss? And I was like, okay. So then the next couple of months go by. The new executive director comes in, and he decides that he wants to promote me. And I had been in my position for maybe like 2 months and had even done more traveling. By all standards, everything was really awesome. From the outside looking in, it looked like, wow, what an awesome job she has. Like, great salary, great benefits. This is awesome. But I wasn't happy at all. And I kept asking God for that moment when I could leave because I just didn't want to be there anymore. And so finally, I felt like he released me. I think it was around May. And so I just sort of called a couple of places. I didn't even formally put my resume anywhere in, and this was on a Monday, and by Friday I had 5 job offers, and I just knew that that was because God had been in that moment. And so I've been at my new job now for since May, and God has really blessed every aspect of it. And I didn't know when you asked me this, but it's really funny because even this week I had to take a test for work that I had no right to pass. I'm getting married in 2 weeks, and I did not study. And it's a really hard test that people who do study fail like 2, 3, 4 times before they pass. And I totally passed, which was all God. So, yeah.
I guess it all comes down to really the mandate of our church. We've been called to abide in the vine. For as hard as for us, corporately, and as individuals. So Moses is now in the desert, and the Lord tells him again in verse 10, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. It took 40 years of preparation, from palace to desert to deliverer. What a powerful story. As you read the book of Exodus, you'll see that even in the journey, when he's following the will of God, that there's hard times and there's pushback. I don't know why we get that in our head, that when we're following the will of God, that everything is going to be easy. I think that's a lie from the enemy. Because so many times we read stories all over the world of martyrs. We see in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, people whose faith were so strong that they made it into the Hebrews Hall of Faith, yet their dream and their visions didn't come into fruition. But God was so proud of them because they made it to the place that he was calling them. So Exodus chapter 4, verse 4 says, Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me, Lord, or listen?" And the Lord says, The Lord did not appear to you. When the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it to the ground." And Moses threw it to the ground. It became a snake, and he ran from it. I would too. Then the Lord said to him, "Now reach out and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took the snake, and it turned back into a staff. "This," says the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord their God is of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord says, "Now put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back in your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into the cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord says, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, then take some water from the Nile, pour it on dry ground, and the water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been an eloquent, neither to past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes the deaf or mute? Who gives them sight and makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach what to say." Can you just see that? Moses is uncertain of his abilities, the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, yet the comfort of the Lord telling him, "I am going with you." We know Moses because he said yes to the Lord. If Moses had a rejected change and just said, "Know what, I'm just going to stay in the palace forever," would we have understood who he was? See, my friends and team, you can come. God is calling us to that place of change. Change is inevitable. And we can either stay stagnant or we can say, "Lord, what are you asking me to do?" But the exciting thing is when the Lord is the author of change in our life, because he doesn't want to leave us in our mess. He wants to develop us. He wants to grow the godly character deep within. And as he challenges us and strengthens us, it's often through difficult times and trials. You know what? Tough times come. And again, there's no promises of this utopia, but there is promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. You going through a hard time right now? Are you just like, "God, what is happening? Where are you, Lord?" I believe that God, like Moses, wants to show that he's closer than a brother. Because it ends up that the Bible tells us that Moses walks in that place where God calls him friend. We sing songs, "I am a friend of God." But do we have that type of relationship where God is absolutely our everything? My friends, I believe that God is calling us as an assembly to embrace the character of God. That we are no longer going to just say, "Lord, this is good enough." But we're going to remember that he's the potter and we're the clay. And as he molds us and shapes us and it starts to feel uncomfortable, we can walk into that place and say, "God, I trust you. In the midst of my hardship, I trust you. In the midst of my uncomfortableness, I trust you. In the midst of being in the wine press, Lord, I trust you. For if God is for you, who can be against?" May the Lord bless you and keep you. I'm going to like to call the prayer team up. If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, I would love to pray with you this morning. But if not, let's just stand to our feet as we enter into worship. And just maybe even where you're standing, just open up your heart to the Lord and say, "God, I desire a fresh touch, for you are a good, good God." In Jesus' name.